Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at Joan Michelson and at Green Connects DC. Some of the primary growth engines of the clean green economy have been the state renewable energy standards that are in 27 states plus the District of Columbia, and the tax credits that homeowners and businesses can enjoy also to improve their energy portfolio. But these tax credits are not permanent. Most people don't realize that. They're renewed every few years. This year, President Obama renewed the $500 tax credit for homeowners, for example, who installed energy-saving technologies like new windows, a new roof, or air conditioning, et cetera. However, in some states, these energy standards and tax credits are in jeopardy, believe it or not. One state that is in the midst right now of securing renewal of their renewable energy investment tax credits is North Carolina, where this tax benefit has been an especially strong driver of clean energy adoption. Here to talk to us about North Carolina's progress and the renewable energy standards and tax credits, Betsy McCorkle, the Director of Government Relations of the North Carolina Sustainable Energy Association. Betsy is a registered lobbyist who works with legislators and state and local government officials and the clean energy industry to encourage clean energy legislation and adoption. Her experience comes from the solar side of the industry because she worked at the North Carolina Solar Center's Economic Development Program. She has a master's in environmental management from Duke and a bachelor's in environmental economics from the University of Georgia, which she graduated magna cum laude. So she has won some prestigious young professional awards and is obviously a smart, accomplished lady with a lot of drive. My kind of people. Welcome to Green Connections, Betsy.
Thank you, and what a lovely introduction. We can probably just end the interview there.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. Well, I like your spirit and all the work that you're doing. So let's start off with an explanation of the North Carolina Renewable Energy Investment Tax Credit. Give us an explanation of the tax credit and where it stands today.
Sure. So North Carolina has exhibited great leadership, not just in the Southeast, but really in the nation, to signal to entrepreneurs and to investors that North Carolina welcomes you. We want you to come here. We want you to innovate and help us create a more diverse, more affordable, and cleaner energy portfolio. And one of the things that has helped attract those people and those investments is the Renewable Energy Investment Tax Credit. We call it the REITC for short. And that is a mechanism that allows investors to come in and help reduce the capital cost of some of these technologies. So there's 18 technologies that qualify for this tax credit. It's often referred to as a solar tax credit, and certainly solar is one of those technologies, but there's a number of others as well around, animal waste to energy, biomass, landfill gas, wind, combined heat and power, geothermal. So really a very broad-reaching credit.
Just tell us where the energy tax credit is today. Is it yay or nay? Is it in jeopardy? Because I understand it's like due to expire this year, I think.
It is due to expire. Its expiration is December 31st of this year, and there are a number of efforts underway to extend it.
You mentioned that the utilities are learning better how to integrate these technologies. North Carolina is home to probably the nation's largest utility, Duke Energy. How has Duke Energy and the other utilities adapted? They seem to be behind the rest of the innovation in the industry, frankly. How are the utilities adapting, and what is your experience with the relationship that they have to clean energy and integrating it?
I think the utilities in North Carolina are very interested in figuring out how they can best engage in the clean energy economy. So right now, their business model is set up to where the benefit to them is into owning these assets, putting them into their rate base, similar to how they would a new natural gas plant or a new nuclear plant. Customers, on the other hand, have a demand for that more access to renewable energy, and they want to use it on their property, at their businesses, and where there's conflict is who owns these technologies, who is responsible for their maintenance, and who ultimately can profit from them.
Okay, so one of the ways to own your own power is microgrids. And how are, and I understand the issue of who owns it and who profits from it, et cetera. I mean, for example, I interviewed a woman at ARPA-E that has a microgrid company, and they have utilities that actually pay the owners of the microgrids $5,000 a year, I believe it is, just to have access to the option to have them go off the grid and use the microgrid for a period of time so that the utility can, A, adjust their system for how that works, and B, do some load transfer, if you will, from their grid. So how is that? I mean, is that the kind of thing you're talking about when you say that there's, you know, they're trying to figure out how to integrate it and who owns it? Because microgrids really, I mean, the whole point of microgrids is that you own the technology yourself and you are more in control of your energy source.
So that's, I mean, I think the way you've outlined that is exactly right. So there's a benefit to the utility to have access to customer-owned generation if they need it, or to encourage customers to use their own generation in times where demand exceeds supply. That is a benefit to the utility because when demand exceeds supply, electricity gets very expensive. So if they can transition certain customers onto their own generation during a period of time, that could be in everybody's best interest. So absolutely. The flip side of that is if too many customers have their own generation and they're relying on it, you know, the better part of the day and night, then the utility still has all of its assets, still has all of its responsibility to serve customers. But as more and more customers come off the grid, or at least partially off the grid, they have less customers paying for those assets that they have to maintain.
Well, that's kind of fascinating, actually, that one of the problems is that the utilities might not make enough money to maintain their own grid, to help maintain their portion, I should say, of the grid. That would be kind of a high-class problem, in my view. See, I'm fascinated by the utilities, and you're a great person to talk about this with, because the utilities are being asked to reinvent their business model without knowing where exactly the raw materials are going to come from or when or how, under a microscope of the regulatory system, being asked to make more money by selling less product and do it all without dropping a moment of service to anybody.
Right.
I mean, a restaurant can close for renovations, right? And so I feel their pain, but they also kind of got themselves in this mess in the first place because they've been really late to the innovation of the energy economy. How are you nudging the utilities to be more innovative and faster?
What we see happening is that more and more customers are coming to us because they see the work that we're doing, and they're saying, we want more renewable energy. We want access to more renewable energy, and we want options on how to finance our renewable energy and our energy efficiency. And these customers are not necessarily just homeowners. These are customers like the U.S. military, Fort Bragg, Camp Lejeune. These are data centers like Apple, like Google, like Facebook. These are retail chains like Walmart and Target and Macy's. And universities, the UNC system in North Carolina has been a very strong advocate for more access to renewable energy. Everybody has their own reason for coming to the table. We're trying to help equip those individuals, those organizations with what they need to get what it is they want.
So you're a bit of a referee, if you you sound like
in a way. In a way, I mean, we want a cleaner energy future. We don't necessarily have an exact protocol for how we get there.
This whole dance between the utilities and the customers is really kind of the nub of what's going to expedite the growth of the clean energy economy, because in some ways it's holding it back. And then, of course, you know, you have the development of the smart grid, and nobody entirely knows what that's going to look like yet. And so on top of it, everybody has to develop their innovations without knowing how that's going to work specifically.
No, I mean, I think we're all operating without perfect information.
Without a net, right?
Yeah. I think that's true. And I think, you know, I think a lot of parallels have been drawn to, you know, how we got to having smartphones, you know, where we all have incredible computing power in our pockets and in our purses now. And, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, no one would have been able to wrap their head around that. And certainly the phone companies, I think, knew what was coming, but adapting to it and not going out of business as a result was a very delicate dance.
So let's talk a little bit about the jobs that they're creating. What do these jobs pay? What's the education level required? And who are the demographics of the people that are taking them or getting them?
I think that's a very good question. I don't have the specifics on that. I do know that in the case of Schletter, there had been quite a few textile mills that had either moved or gone out of business in that area. And a lot of that workforce was able to be retrained to take positions at Schletter. So that's just one example. I know on the installation end, so for solar installations, both rooftop and ground-mounted, as well as the solar thermal side of things, you've seen a lot of transition for electricians and for plumbers and for general contractors that experienced a loss of employment or a downturn kind of during the housing crisis.
That's terrific that people are learning new skill and saying, okay, I'm not going to let the economy get me down. I'm just going to rise to the occasion and exercise some new brain cells and learn something new. So what kind of tips would you give to somebody who has a business or a home to find out if they, A, have an REITC in their state, and B, qualify, and C, how they should go after it?
Sure. So there's actually a great online resource. It's run by NC State University and funded by the Department of Energy. And the website is called DESIRE, but it is DSIRE. So that first E is not there. And that state stands for the Database for State Incentives for Renewables and Efficiency. So DSIREUSA.org. That is a fantastic website where you can actually look up your state and see all of the incentives, so not just a tax credit, but all of the incentives that are available in your area. I think they have it down to zip codes now for renewable energy and energy efficiency. So, for instance, if your utility offers a rebate for purchasing a energy-efficient refrigerator, you'd probably be able to find out about it on this website.
Oh, that's great. I like that. And it's DSIREUSA.org.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll put it on our website. I think actually now that you say that, I think I've heard of that one before, and I thought it was temporary for some reason, so I'm glad to hear. So anybody from anywhere in the U.S. can check out, put in their zip code and get information on the tax credits that could benefit them.
Yes, and beyond tax credits, they can find out about other programs as well. But that's a phenomenal resource for people all across the country, really all across the world.
Cool. So, Betsy McCorkle, how did you get interested in environmental economics, and how did you get into clean energy?
I often tell the story about a scholarship essay I wrote in the 11th grade, trying to get a scholarship to go to the University of Georgia, and I wrote that I was frustrated that in the environment was a partisan issue. So I wrote in this essay that I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, but I knew that I wanted to impact that. And I haven't turned my back on that ever since.
So interesting. Well, I don't know who your teachers were or whoever inspired you, but we're all better off for it. So, and you're an inspiration to other women who are interested in the work that you do and in channeling their interest into making a difference to help drive a clean, green economy. So thank you so much. I will be right back with what I heard. Betsy McCorkle of the North Carolina Sustainable Energy Association say. Be right back. Betsy McCorkle of the North Carolina Sustainable Energy Association is terrific. She said some things that were very interesting, and here are my takeaways. That utilities are learning better how to integrate these new technologies for clean energy, that a key issue is who owns the technology and who profits from it, especially with growth of technologies like the microgrids, which really take so much business away from the utilities. I thought it was fascinating that she's now talking about the fact that utilities are concerned that they might lose too many customers and not be able to have the revenue that they need to support the power to the community. That's pretty amazing. I mean, that really shows a sea change in my view. She said that the utilities are very interested in figuring out how to do it, but they do want to own the technologies, and that they often end up being, they being NCSEA, often end up being what I call the referee between customers and policymakers and utilities. She made a couple of very other interesting points that we're all operating with imperfect information. This is the Wild West, guys. This is a new economy. This is a new industry. There's new rules. The rules are being made as we go. I thought the parallel to the smartphone industry was interesting, too. I've heard that before. But the parallel she's talking about is in adoption and in adaptation, so that existing industries have to adapt to the new terrain. I was glad to hear, very glad to hear, that folks are being retrained from having been downsized. And go to your computer and look up DSIREUSA.org to find where your opportunities are for tax credits and other financial incentives for renewable energy options. DSIREUSA.org. We'll have that on our website as well. And Betsy's story is great about her 11th grade scholarship essay on the environment having become a partisan political issue. Thank a teacher, folks. I mean, our teachers are so inspiring. That was just incredible. So tell us what your questions are for Betsy and what you find out on DSIREUSA.org. Thank you for joining us on Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Joan Michelson and at Green Connects DC. And by the way, we're going to be on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn soon. So stay tuned. See you next time.
Capital Audio Post, your one-stop shop for your post-production needs. 703-712-8757.
Our services include video editing, sound design, sound mixing, ISDN recording, and many other media-related services.
Let us finish your project no matter where you are, across the U.S. or across the world. Go to www.capitalaudiopost.com. Call us at 703-712-8757.
Let us know how we can help you finish your production.